Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Shot podcast after a mini hiatus while we're all zipping around the world and the country. But we've missed you all and we've missed each other, haven't we, guys?
Yes.
Here's Charles in Sydney and we've got Dave and Grace together in Melbourne. How about that? Sharing a microphone, sharing a room, sharing your time here this morning or this afternoon, depending on when you're listening to us. But it's wonderful to be back, and what a day it is that we have chosen to resume our discussions with you all.
Why? What's happened?
Nothing much. Like, momentous day, finally, after 70 years, which is kind of an extraordinary longevity that I don't think any other corporate leader has managed to achieve for a while. Rupert Murdoch has announced his retirement from News Corp, or should we say his ascension from executive chair to chair emeritus. Perhaps we can dive in and talk a little bit about what that might mean later. But it is a day of great significance. Australia's most successful global businessman is stepping back from the empire he has created. And Grace, I know you're devastated to learn this.
I just want to claim credit for causing it.
I think there's a lot of people putting up their hands to suggest that they were entirely responsible for the fact that he's had to shuffle off, if not this mortal coil, at least the corporate coil. Dave, Grace, down in Melbourne. Go on.
Yeah.
I do think we should get to own a little bit of this. It's a momentous occasion. It doesn't happen that often. How many Fuck Murdoch stickers did we sell, Charles?
Oh, we sold about 110,000. But the worst part of this whole thing, so you can still buy them at theshot.store.
Yeah, they're probably now collector's items.
Collector's items.
Rush in.
But stupidly, we I've just ordered, literally a couple of weeks ago, I ordered some little lapel pins which said Fuck Murdoch.
Is Murdoch still lurking in the sidelines?
Yeah, Lachlan's still
shithouse.
Yeah.
And I've got Fuck Murdoch dog bandanas on order as well. This is for Christmas.
So, in limited quantities, so be ready for those.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they'll be collector's items.
I think they will. I think people will want to have little mementos.
And look, I think, you know, he's had 70 years at News, at the helm of News, but really the talk about him leaving really was concentrated in the last 3 or 4 years, right, which is when we started selling the stickers. So I think that's right. I think we would certainly be part of the credit. But Grace,
I think it's fair to say that my tireless quippy columns, Grace's work, and the 100,000 stickers had a greater impact on him stepping down than the $800 billion lawsuit that Fox lost against a million.
Nothing to do with that.
Nothing.
No.
Well, it was interesting that now, because Michael Wolff's book has also come out, which is, you know, a great timing for him. He must be, and he and his publishers would be very happy about that. But the interesting thing that was revealed in some of the excerpts which have come through so far is just his spectacularly bad judgment on almost every front. Like, he firmly believed that the whole Dominion case was going to cost them a grand total of $50 million. And he was furious with Trump at costing him even that. Must have been a bit of a shock to the system when the numbers started trickling through, really, then.
Isn't that just the symptom of a lifetime of getting away with being horrible?
Yeah.
You're going to keep getting away with it when you have for 70 fucking years.
He must be beyond out of touch. I loved reading the statement or the clip.
Let's read the statement.
Yeah, the little bit of the statement.
Share some of those words with us.
Where is it? Hang on. I'm going to have to find it. Lachlan can edit this out.
Lachlan Murdoch can edit
this out. Yeah, Lachlan Murdoch can edit this out.
He's probably tapped our phones.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure my phone is tapped.
Well,
certain. So I actually speak to phone as if the Murdochs are listening.
Well, that's not a crazy person thing to do.
To my own phone. not at all. But that's the tip of the iceberg, Charles. Rupert claims, here's the quotations begin now. Elites have open contempt for those who are not members of their rarefied class.
and that the media is in cahoots with those elites, peddling political narratives rather than pursuing the truth. And the ABC has just uncritically reported as if it is fact.
And that is presumably devoid of irony.
They're so blatant and brazen, the Murdoch press. One of their favourite tactics is accusing the enemy or their critics of doing exactly what they are doing.
The projection.
Yeah, it's a Russian spy technique straight out of the KGB handbook.
Right. I'm not familiar with the KGB handbook, but I'm delighted to know that the tactics that News Corp are employing are gleaned from them.
That rip it up.
Yeah, I mean, there are many sources from which they draw their strategy. That is kind of incredible that they could, with a straight face, actually publish something like that. I suppose it's like Fox News, fair and balanced, or whatever it was that they had for a while as their tagline.
That was a direct quote from Rupert Murdoch about elites being in cahoots.
So who does he think these elites are if they don't encompass him and News Corp? Like, it's kind of incredible.
Like Dave was saying before, it's the epitome of the Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, look, just to pick up what David Graeber would say about this, which is actually those people like Murdoch actually distinguish between moneyed elites and liberal elites, what they call liberal elites. And so why they hate liberal elites so much is because actually the things that liberal elites strive for are values that aren't money, right? So you're not an elite to become incredibly rich in their world, because anyone, you know, the dream is that anyone can, you know, go into business and make tons of money. But the thing that, you know, they really hate are things where, you know, the New York Times film critic or something like that, who doesn't necessarily make much money out of it, but makes a good living out of the thing, but actually is pursuing different values, like, you know, sort of understanding of film criticism, whatever. And to do those things, there are actually far greater barriers to entry. You've got to get a good education. You've then got to go to university, you know, do your couple of years.
See lots of films.
See lots of films.
Yep.
And that is a great set of people to turn the rest of the population against, because in some ways they are, like, it is more unachievable for, I don't know, an air conditioner salesman from buttfuck Ohio to actually ever become a New York film critic, whereas they can conceivably become a millionaire, you know.
Yeah,
but this is how right-wing populism always works, is that you adopt the left-wing talking point and you strip it of all meaning and substance, and it just becomes about, you know, pointing a finger and blaming someone else. It's a deflection entirely, where you have, like, if he really cared about elites, he wouldn't have destroyed the fucking unions in the UK through the 80s and 90s. You know, these are things that help working class people, right, pull themselves up to a stature closer to the elites, and he spent his entire career undermining them and destabilizing them. So it's entirely a populist trick to pull. It's what Trump does. It's what Rupert Murdoch does.
Yeah. Become a martyr for a cause that you made up.
That is true. The straw men that can be pulled down so easily because they were always featherweight. So what do we think Rupert Murdoch's ultimate legacy is going to be? Like the smoking ruins of American democracy?
I mean, it's no one has caused more damage to Anglo-Western democracies than Rupert Murdoch. No single one human.
He's not a human, Dave.
Well, he must have consumed a lot of souls for this longevity at 92. This Shang Tsung figure absorbing the life force of all those around him.
My theory is that the reason he has so many ex-wives is because he's harvesting their organs. That's why that Jerry Hall was no good to him, because she's a smoker.
Yeah, and they were no. Well, you know, that actually makes sense, because the wives, the multiple wives, did come late in life. Like, you know,
does make sense. You're right, Joe.
I mean, until he got much older, he sort of stuck with the same wife, and it was only as he ticked into that kind of era of his life where his organs were going to be breaking down more quickly that he started churning through them at a rate of knots.
Yes.
I know him too well.
So I think
from a distance.
His legacy is the destruction and erosion of democracy. Grace thinks it's organ harvesting. What do you think, Charles?
What's his I'd quite like to be optimistic about this and say his ultimate
ABC will do that. You don't have to.
His ultimate legacy will be very little at all. You know, that actually, yeah, he had a go trying to destroy democracy and stuff like that. But, you know, time will heal those wounds and people will fight back and he'll be dead and unable to enter the kingdom of heaven because he's too fucking rich.
I think it sort of depends a bit what happens in America in the next few years, how long-lasting that impact can be. I mean, I personally believe that Trump will get the Republican nomination, but that he will then lose to Biden.
What, lose to Biden?
Yeah, I think he will.
What?
I just don't see why anybody who voted against Trump last time is going to think, oh, hang on, yeah, no, we made a mistake then. Let's go back to him.
No, I reckon you're underestimating. Like a show trial from prison, that is terrific television. You want to, you want that to keep going. Think of it as a TV show, and think of it as you get
a TV show.
And you get to November, and you're going, "This is absolutely compelling." This guy's, you know, in a jumpsuit, a club-fed prison,
and it's become a cage match. The stakes are higher.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think
and people will forget how bad he was 4 years. You know how you sort of
go
back to
horrible. Actually got your candidate in a jumpsuit in jail, that's a pretty stark reminder that possibly it's not presidential material.
But it's America, Joe. Yes. I mean,
I know there's lots of crazy people in America, but I don't think that there's a majority of people who think, I know, like a president like ruling from jail is a good idea.
But he could sell it. The whole thing in 2016 was we want to run the country like a business. I'm a business guy.
Yeah, but we've had 2016. We've had a term.
Like a convict would run the country.
Really, though, it's
just shanking our enemies, embezzling our funds. He could sell that. It's what he does.
It's the United States finally not cosmetically pretending to be anything other than what the United States have been for a very long time. They are a domineering bully.
Sure. Yes. I don't disagree with any of that, but I do think that they will maintain nonetheless the veneer
larger than life
of normalcy. The difference between 2016 and 2024 is that we had a Trump presidency and people rejected that by 8 million votes, albeit only by about 80,000 in key swing states. But I just don't see why people who voted against the chaos that was his first term are going to go, no, let's go back to that. That was actually the good old days.
Might be right, but I just think we're at risk of underselling Murdoch's achievements here. And he did also fuck up the UK. I think we need to bring
He totally fucked up the UK as well.
Nigel Farage this morning tweeted that Brexit wouldn't have happened without Rupert Murdoch's help. He meant this as praise.
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
I think Nigel Farage is entirely correct about this for once. And that is a damning part of his legacy. Europe's not typically a stable place. You look at history, it spent thousands of years fighting itself. Post-war period was the most stable Europe's been in a very long time. And part of the disintegration there, pulling the UK out of that block willingly, would not have happened without Murdoch's influence. It's a suicidal, stupid move that has disastrous impacts on their economy. All of a sudden, 60 million odd British people lost the ability to just go live in France or Italy or Spain for no fucking reason other than Rupert Murdoch knows where everybody's buttons are, the xenophobe, the fear buttons, and he knows how to push them. He spent 70 years refining those methods.
Yes, he did. And we all know that the reason that he was so pro-Brexit was because, as he has been quoted as saying, is that no one in Brussels gives two fuck about what he has to say, whereas Downing Street will welcome him in, if not through the front door, because they have to sort of secrete him in the back door these days. And that's the way that he would enter to hold court with the British Prime Minister, literally. And in many ways, assuming that there isn't another Trump presidency, the UK's decision to leave the European Union is going to have more of a long-lasting impact on their economic and social development than actually what we hope will be the aberration of a Trump presidency.
I'm in a bit of shock, to be honest. I can't stop smiling. My face is hurt. See me, but I think I'm going to levitate.
We can hear the glee in your voice. Well, we absolutely can.
Just to make you a little bit more depressed, Grace,
be right, Charles. Bring us down.
I don't know whether you've read the email that he sent to staff, but they had a copy in the Wall Street Journal this morning. And so the first sentence is, I'm stepping down as chairman. Second sentence is, I'm stepping up as emeritus chairman or whatever the name is. And the third sentence was, and you editors can expect to see me at 9 p.m. on a Friday night still walking around their newsrooms. So don't, you've got to behave.
He's on the hunt. He hasn't finished his organ harvesting.
I don't understand why
he doubt that his presence will remain.
So just the flaw with this theory, Grace, to me, is why would he...
Just the one, Charles.
Why would he use his wives? Like, why wouldn't he get some sort of peasant boy off the streets of Rio de Janeiro and harvest...
They have peasant organs. They have peasant organs. This is an elite ruling thing.
I don't want to... speculate on the sexuality of Rupert Murdoch that quite possibly intersects with cannibalism. I don't.
Oh my God!
It's just a theory, Charles.
Okay. My God, I'm now just looking at the letter.
One defo check. Yeah. Sure.
I would quite happily have Rupert Murdoch sue me. I think that would be.
I would love Rupert Murdoch to sue you.
Tend to get a lot of money if he sues you, as the Crikey case showed. Yeah. End up richer.
You'll have to defo. You'll have to defo check this bit, if not completely remove it.
That would be the funniest case in the world, though. Grace Tame getting sued by Rupert Murdoch.
I mean, because I was very disappointed when the Crikey case didn't go ahead. I was getting ready for a few weeks of vast entertainment, and so having been denied that, News Corp Rupert Murdoch personally, even better, v Grace Tame.
See, I think. I would go about it in a more Trumpian way. So I would accuse Lachlan Murdoch of being a soft cock and then ask him to disprove that by, sending a picture of his hard penis because I do think that
I don't think that would necessarily, though, refute soft cock by saying you can have a hard cock doesn't mean that you don't embody soft cockedness.
No, I don't know whether we need to unpack that one.
Probably we don't. I was just following that through to the logic.
It's just a thought. I haven't actualized that.
Yeah.
Isn't the point, though, that,
he's handling the news like mature adults.
But he's clearly deeply incompetent, Lachlan Murdoch. And that's not defamatory. That's just based on the facts and evidence. Like, every big business thing that he wades into, it seems to me, he just fucks up royally. Like, the OneTel thing was the start of his career. The last, he took over Fox News and suddenly they're being sued for $787 billion or million.
Channel 10 went down the toilet.
Channel 10 went bankrupt when he was the chair. Like, he just...
He was the original investor in realestate.com, wasn't he, though? That's the thing that's actually saving News Corp at the moment in terms of...
And Nova. He bought Nova from the Daily Mail Group fairly early on, which was quite a shrewd investment.
That was his first successful foray into media as an independent business, albeit one backed completely by the Murdoch money.
But I think we can, if he manages to hold on, which I don't think is in any way likely, but if he is able to hold on to that, he will run News Corp into the ground. Like, have no doubt, like in 10 years' time, it will be gone.
Well, that's no bad thing and would be no small achievement.
No, it's great. It's terrific.
Yeah.
Is Lachlan Kendall Roy or Roman Roy?
I reckon he's the Elon Musk of News Corp.
Well, although Elon
Musk has a level of intellect.
What?
A level.
Well, Well, I think, what he's doing very successfully is navigating particularly SpaceX through kind of NASA and the military, and, you know, that's been
So my wife has a theory about Elon Musk, which I know is sort of a slight thing, but I think it's a really good theory and I think we should air it, which is that him taking over Twitter is literally just to distract everyone from the fact that he now owns Skynet. Like, it's literally just a distraction game. So everyone's looking over at Twitter.
Yeah.
And while because he already owns a third of all the satellites in the sky.
I was on a podcast last week with Denise Shrivell, and she informed me that during a Ukrainian counteroffensive, Elon Musk switched the internet off.
Yes, that's in the latest book, in the Walter Isaacson book.
That's very much overstepping your remit as a fucking billionaire Bond villain.
And he was alleging that the reason for that was that he didn't want his vast satellite network to be used for evil and it should only be used for good. And so therefore, when it became a tool in warfare for whichever side, he was going to close it down. And it really did have an impact on the military strategy on the ground. And he's unapologetic about that. I mean, whether or not there was a strategy around that, it is certainly proving to be a great distraction. I mean, I think the thing about Twitter that I will say is I actually think that he never intended to buy it and it was just his bravado and machismo carrying on. And then, you know, he did try and get out of it and then was forced into completing the sale through the courts. Mm. And at that point, I think he just thought, oh, well, I'll make the most of it now. And then everything unfolded as it has. And we mourn Twitter still.
Probably true. He tried to get out of the sale, but his own low self-esteem and need for approval from whack jobs on the internet made him follow through with the purchase.
Well, no, it was actually he was going to be made Twitter sued to make him buy them, which is another bit of a Brett's own goal right there for Twitter.
The initial reason for wanting it was he found a cult of weirdos that like to say nice things about him and like to, you know, laugh emoji at his terrible stolen jokes.
Yeah.
Like, no matter who we are, we've all got these little, like, got this hardwired need for our dopamine receptors to be firing, and, you know, whether you're a billionaire or not.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do we think that Rupert's retirement is going to have any immediate impact on News Corp, or that they're so now, you know, stuck in their ways and in their lanes that they're just going to continue as if Rupert was still looking over their shoulder? They're going to hark back to him and his ideologies, and Lachlan isn't going to have the personality or the corporate strength to shift in any way, even if it is, as you said earlier, Charles, that now finally, although this was the shovel, that finally Lachlan can take Fox News to the right.
I think something to remark on is how entrenched the Murdochian, and I mean Rupert Murdochian, way of operating must be throughout News Corporation. And I've spoken, believe it or not, to former, we should call them reformed, News Corporation journalists who've reflected on the fact that a lot of the time people will be writing to impress Rupert, even if his presence is not directly in their department, because obviously, despite his being a cerebral villain, he can't physically be in, you know, everywhere at once. But there is this sort of fear, this climate of fear that permeates the organization, such that even the less higher up, the sort of the subordinates are writing as if Rupert Murdoch is, you know, looking over their shoulder or, you know, for their spleen.
For the organized thing, I've heard from, you know, again, reformed news journalists that when he is in the country and in the newsroom, it is worse and everyone's stories do get more vicious and more right and the front page gets more attack doggy, and that is purely trying to please this man. How much much of that, you know, lingers in the psyche when he's not there, we don't know. But we do know that, you know, cultures get set and they are difficult to change, and you need someone that actually willingly wants to change them. And I don't see Lachlan being that man.
Yes. And in fact, Lachlan came out and spent a lot of time in Australia in the last federal election, and he was back and forth between Sydney and LA, constantly war rooming how to get Morrison across the line, and completely failed. And it was quite visible that that's what he was doing. First of all, Rupert would never have allowed himself to be visibly involved in such a failure. Like, it is such a, part of power is the appearance of being powerful. And Lachlan just completely misplayed his hand there. But also, clearly, he had no idea what he was doing. He couldn't turn it around for Morrison. And, like, it was just a complete disaster of an election for them. So I think that there's, and, you know, like, all that sort of, you know, to the extent that they tried these sort of, you know, anti-trans culture bombs and things like that, they all bombed.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, like, I think it would be very difficult for anybody to have turned around the ship Morrison at that point. I mean, people had really caught on to the kind of cataclysmic disaster that he was.
But I do think it is the case, you know, every, especially senior news person who's still in there, who has a bit of Stockholm syndrome and likes it when Rupert's around, they all have their own personal Rupert stories. Like, everyone, but they don't have Lachlan stories.
Yeah.
You know, like, I kind of think there will be a sort of a melting away of Rupert's sort of silent, invisible hand.
Well, I mean, he just won't be taken as seriously because he isn't the one that built the empire, and, you know, that's just going to be the way it
is. He's Kendall Roy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what self-destructive things is he going to inflict on the world because of that insecurity, you know?
Maybe we should all have a bit of a, you know, pass around the hat and raise some money so that Lachlan can do some therapy. Because isn't the whole thing about all these awful men is that they just haven't, you know, got unresolved childhood trauma.
You've got an organ harvester of a father. How can you not be kind of fucked up?
One of the children married a Freud. I think it was Elizabeth.
Yeah, she
married
did.
A Freud.
Yeah.
Mm.
Who was?
I mean, that's
PR.
What a genetic horror show.
Yeah. My favorite Rupert Murdoch business move, by the way, is when James decided to get out of the family business, set up a gangster rap label.
His own. Because when I think James Murdoch, I do think gangster rap. I recall when that happened. Yep.
Because that's serious street cred. And then Rupert was just like, no, you don't get away. And he bought the gangster rap label, bought them back in.
Which would then, of course, have had complete credibility in the eyes of the gangster rappers that they were now owned holus bolus by Rupert Murdoch.
It's extremely mafia, though, isn't it? Your son's trying to get away. You pull him back in while buying his enterprise.
But the thing about Rupert, you know, clearly in latter years he had lost that Midas touch in that, well, firstly, that he was responsible for Trump's election and then clearly lost control of him and then has just been for the last few years having death wishes about him, but then was really believed that he still could bring down Trump in the post-presidential kind of period when Dominion had happened and he was sort of bitter and was going all in for Ron DeSantis. But, I mean, look how well that has turned out. I mean, the more people have got to know Ron DeSantis, the more kind of like more of a joke he actually is. And the idea that he would have, I mean, obviously you don't need gravitas to be president because Trump has proven that, but he just doesn't have the capacity to lead in any way, shape or form. He's just doubling down on superficial, facile culture wars that aren't playing anywhere outside of his base in Florida. And yet that's who Murdoch really thought could unseat the sort of inevitable trajectory towards Republican nomination of Trump this time around.
I feel like a bit of history is relevant here, though. Mm. I mean, these types of politicians are actually not new. And when I hear this term populism, I think, well, that's a bit inaccurate because really this is very Nixonian. It's very, and I've mentioned McCarthy on the podcast before, but this sort of style of debate that is not really constructive. It is just mudslinging for the sake of it. And it elevates emotion
fiction as a way of muddying any facts.
And fear.
Yes, it especially taps into fear. But this is a sort of, this goes way back to that time, you know, the sort of early years of the so-called Cold War that didn't really end, you know, the information war, if you will. And it's, you know, these figures are appealing to Rupert Murdoch because they're malleable and they're egotistical. So when they have backing like someone like Rupert Murdoch, you know, that feeds their delusions of grandeur. And it's a, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours sort of deal. But really the big forces that have been at the helm, if you will, of the United States have not changed. Those forces that rule, that govern, aren't actually elected. You know, they have their seat of power in Wall Street, and, you know, they've got transnational influence, and it's sort of dynastic. And Rupert Murdoch is very much one of those figures. He's just looking for somebody to be really a distraction, I think.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with that. And I think the glee with which Trump kind of embraced the notion of that kind of the apparatus of power through the presidency, I think, was what made him so successful. He was a showman, and then he had the backing of the powerful cabal, cabals behind the throne, if you like, that elevated him in prominence, which is why he was able to then tap into the people's whose votes were required to actually fulfill the grand ambition. But, you know, if Murdoch was just so powerful within the media, but as you say, the money was coming from all over the place, the money that was funding the campaigns, that's been funding the judiciaries, that's been funding the think tanks, that's sort of developing all of the policy frameworks and so on that then justify someone like Trump. So, but all the while, this is working behind the scenes. And so when you've got just the sheer wealth and then the platforms, as Murdoch has, and then the support of all of the, whether it's the, you know, the Koch brothers and all of that shadowy money that exists in the American system and then has permeated out. I mean, Brexit was another key example that was all funded by this dark money, because the business interests are really all that these people care about.
Exactly, yeah. And Rupert Murdoch is
the apotheosis,
of
really, of
I think
it
he's
all.
Getting because... off lightly here, guys.
Sorry?
I think he's still getting off lightly in our summation of the man, because the fact that we haven't brought up is that his newspapers have spent 30 years denying climate science and pushing back on it and hindering governments' ability to act on it and transition to renewable energy. Like, I have personally witnessed a bunch of times ordinary Australians in cafes repeating verbatim Herald Sun talking points about how they're going to destroy the weekend, how the utes don't work, how batteries don't work, how the power will keep going off. And this is his effect for decades. If we're talking about an influence on the planet, let's not forget that as well.
No, absolutely. Yes. And I think that is just probably the now most extreme and dangerous example, though, of where business interests, the financial interests of the true elites are trumping everything, because even as the planet is now boiling, that is immaterial if it meant that business interests have to be disrupted. And that is where you see people, businesses in the fossil fuel industry working hand in hand with businesses in the media industry in order to maintain the current hegemonic kind of cultural views of what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable.
The flanks of that are, you know, bolstered by things like The Australian, just again for 40 years hammering home the message that markets are not to be interfered with, money is to be left alone to do its own thing.
Yeah.
There should be no restrictions on, and that is
that somehow the free market is going to help us all as opposed to, you know, help very specific individuals and organisations. So really then,
perpetuating this fallacy that it's a Sophie's choice between the economy and the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, even when the economy is only serving a very small handful of people. So really then, given how structural all of these problems are and the way that Murdoch's media empire has embedded so much of this sort of ideology around the society and the economy in which we're based at the moment. You know, as he now ascends to chairman emeritus and he's still going to be in those newsrooms on Friday, do we think ultimately anything's going to change immediately? Charles, you think he's got, News Corp's probably got 5 years. You know, Murdoch, Rupert will be 97 by then.
So I think it's always been described to me as internally, certainly in Australia, there's always two factions within news because it is essentially a political organisation. And
propaganda. It's a propaganda machine.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's the ideologues and then there's the accountants. And there's a constant tension between the two, but under Rupert Murdoch, it was the ideologues who had their way. And Lachlan is very much ideologue, you know, focused. So, for example, when they set up news.com.au and it became very successful very quickly and it became the biggest news website in Australia, the accountants actually set that up. And it was just an obvious money play. And for the first few years, it actually skewed a bit left. It was by far the most left-wing thing that Murdoch was putting out in his empire. And then Rupert himself came over and appointed Joe Hildebrand as a sort of consultant editor, pulled him out of the Daily Telegraph to sort of put the thumb on the scales and tilt it back towards the centre was the nice. Was the word that they used to describe it. But I think that sort of tension is not going to go away with Rupert going off there. What I think will happen, though, is I think Lachlan will be far worse at being able to win those battles against the accountants. And I think, you're right, it won't happen overnight, but within 5 years I think you're going to see a sort of an erosion of the use of all those resources to just be there for the naked political power of the person who runs it. And so I think, I think you've got to be a little bit hopeful about, it's been by far the worst thing that's ever happened to the planet for the last 50 years, and it's just horrible. But, we've sort of done some chemo and body's now recovering.
Some good may come of this in the end. So potentially there is hope. Like, this is, after all, a red letter day. Grace still smiling over there, glee in her voice that this is happening. So whilst there are structural problems and it takes a lot to turn the vote around, we can have hope that good will come from Murdoch now as emeritus chair rather than executive chair.
There's the cynic in me, you know, that, which is strong. Cynic in me, despite my smile, does almost think that this is a bluff of sorts. You know, it's just on paper he's doing something, and that creates a dangerous false sense of relief for consumers when in reality not very much will have changed except the title on paper that Rupert Murdoch is fulfilling.
Well, we will have to wait and see. Dave is going to have an article about this, which is going to be published later on The Shot. So dive into that, people. We were going to talk a lot about our mate Tim Gerner today and Jacinta Price and indeed even Russell Brand about saying the quiet bits out loud, but all of that was trumped by the news this morning of Rupert Murdoch finally standing down or failing up, who knows, as executive chair of
Wouldn't he have to be propped up at this point?
Oh, I think so, so you never know who's going to be.
But he's got those new legs. Legs from his latest girlfriend.
So. He got the legs from Jerry.
he's actually 6'9" now. Yeah.
Well, thank you all very much for listening to us as we have returned to The Shot. We'll be back now with you regularly from here on in. So do look out for us next week as well. Thanks for joining us.
See ya. Oh, our gear is from Rode. We're part of the Iconoclast Network.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow-up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.